Alan, this is my dad, my mom,
mi abuela,
and that's Diego, my cousin who isn't related to me.
Hi, it's so nice to meet you guys.
Igualmente, Alan, un placer. Igualmente.
No, ya les dije que él no habla español.
Gringo alert, yeah. Hablo un poco de español, but, you know, I was a little distracted in high school Spanish, so.
Well, you just need to fuck us.
Mm. What was that?
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I am now the most famous Venezuelan you know.
Right now?
Right
you?
Now.
You?
Yes. That you know, that you personally know.
Maybe you can be Venezuelan, but you have to answer me like three important words from
okay.
Venezuela.
Okay.
Do you think you know the meaning of three words from Venezuela?
You give me the words and I'll see if I understand them.
Okay. What? I'll go easy on you on the first one. If you don't know the first one, I'll stand up and I'll leave the room.
I'm not making it into Venezuela? Yeah. All right. Okay.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is the Chica to My Gringo, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe, a special Saturday episode of The Commercial Break, because you didn't ask, but we're giving it to you anyway, celebrating the very first international match here in the Miami Stadium of Venezuela versus the United States.
Ooh.
This afternoon, 3 p.m. I think you can watch it on Max, TNT, and a couple other places.
That's big.
So here we are giving you a special episode to celebrate this very unique meeting of two lovely countries, the United States and Venezuela, soon to be much more similar than ever before. Now crunchier than before, 20% more Venezuela. We're here in the studio on this special day. Again, we decided to put this out on Saturday because the Venezuela USA match is happening today.
Yeah.
And we've got a very special guest here at the house, my
yes,
brother-in-law, Gustavo. Gustavo! International man of mystery,
yes,
Gustavo. He's an international man
seven
of mystery.
7 foot tall.
7.5 feet tall. We actually have to adjust the camera
yes.
angle to get him all in. I'm not sure the whole curtain gets it. He is really tall.
He is.
He's a big boy.
I love it.
And he eats me out of house and home every time he comes. Every time he comes here to my house, I tell Astrid that we have to put an extra $300 in the grocery budget. And here's a couple of reasons why. Gustavo will sit. Like, I know I have a bad cream and cereal addiction that rears its ugly head from time to time, usually in the winter because I can hide it with clothing. Gustavo will sit and eat an entire family box of family-sized box of cereal in one sitting,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing to me. I think I was doing too much cocaine to really like go through that growth spurt where I ate a ton of food in one sitting, but it still amazes me that any human being can sit and eat as much food as Gustavo. And
he's a growing boy.
He's a growing boy. I think he's like 25 years old. But when do men stop growing? 30?
I don't know.
When do we stop growing? 30, and women stop growing at like 26 or something like that, something like, and then we start shrinking. Our dicks get smaller, our ears get larger, our nose hair gets longer, and we get smellier and less intelligent. Women just age gracefully through the years, and that's how it goes. Gustavo is a huge boy, and it's just the amount of food that he eats is immense, Chrissy. It's immense. But he's here. He's celebrating the engagement. The recent engagement.
I know. Congratulations.
With
again.
His lovely fiance, Ale, who has been, I mean, as long as I've, they have been together. I think I mentioned this on the show before. They have been together
for 12 years.
12 years. So he was 3 when they met or something like that. I can't do the math real quick, but they've been together since they were like in high school. So high school sweethearts.
Yeah.
Gustavo comes here.
A love story.
It is kind of a love story. Can you imagine getting married to your high school sweetheart?
Yeah. I don't know. No, I cannot.
Chrissy goes, yeah, I can.
I mean, I can picture
dun,
it for
dun,
some
dun,
people.
Dun.
But for me, I am glad that I did not marry my high school sweetheart.
I really still to this day have an affinity for my high school sweetheart, but I don't see us being married.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we had gotten married, it would have been a hot train
yeah.
wreck of a marriage. But she turned out to be a lovely human being, and I still communicate sometimes with her. And
yeah. Jeff's parents had been together since kindergarten.
No.
Yep. grew up together, were together, together, together until, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Kindergarten?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
The moms were friends. And so then they got to know each other that way. And yeah, I mean, they've known each other since kindergarten. Obviously, they weren't boyfriend and girlfriend in kindergarten, but they knew each other and were friends from kindergarten. And then that blossomed into a love and into a marriage and three wonderful boys from it.
When was your first boyfriend? When did you have like your first like boy that you would come home and like a crush, like, you know, like a grade
like
school crush?
Fourth or fifth grade.
Fourth or fifth grade. Yeah. You waited a while. I think I was in first or second grade. Okay, I can still remember the name of the girl. I mean, I won't say it here on air, but I can still remember the name of the girl. And here's the funny thing. Like, I'm not going to say it. Never mind. I'll tell it to you off air. I don't want to start family drama, so I'm not going to start family drama. But, okay, fourth or fifth grade. Yeah, I mean, listen, do you believe that if you have a best friend or a soulmate like Jeff or whatever it is, mm-hmm. do you believe that it's possible you all were connected in a different
time frame, universe,
multiverse, whatever.
Wrinkle in time.
And then you had to find each other each other.
I think so.
I think
feels
so too.
Like that.
Yeah. Someone you knew in a past life.
Mm-hmm.
It freaks me out to think about that because I think it's very possible in this multiverse theory that I have in my head that's kind of crazy and based on many LSD trips. I think that it's possible that like Astrid could have been my brother in a different universe or my best friend or a dog that I like very much. Or we were both possums or something like that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's possible that it wasn't about some love story that continued, like romantic love story. It could have been something else altogether, a friend, a brother.
You just recognize that soul.
You recognize them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing to me, as we talk about Venezuela and the United States, it's amazing to me that I found my soulmate, even though she was many countries away, completely somewhere else, doing something else on a different trajectory than I was. And then our worlds collided, which is weird. And Jeff showed up as your next door neighbor.
He did, yeah. And when we first started talking and getting to know each other, we realized we had a ton of people in common, a ton of friends in common, and places that we had been at the same time together, and we just never had met.
Yeah, so when you think about this, it's either the multiverse theory or Jeff and Chrissy are Ross and Rachel. One of the two, when you think about
it.
I mean, that's kind of strange. I think this same thing about like some of my best friends, like you, maybe we were connected in a different life. Somehow, some way.
I think so, because we definitely recognized each other, I think, when we first met.
We did. I had seen your name on the wall and a picture, and I said, that's Chrissy Hoadley. Or what I affectionately refer to is just Hoadley. Yeah, so amazing to think about all the different ways we are entangled.
Mm-hmm.
And
connected.
Astrid and I, you know, obviously two different countries, two different experiences, two different cultures. All those things kind of washed away when we met each other and the love story persisted.
Yes.
And Gustav.
The language of love, the universal language of love.
The universal language of thirst trap. Yes, that's right. Brian, the universal language of.
I'm just glad that what your heart wanted this time was correct.
I think even in the worst of relationships, you're still drawn to that person for some reason. They have to teach you a lesson. Do you know what I'm saying?
True. That's true.
So, like, you know, I had Nacho Potato the dog before when Astrid and I met. She got me a dog, I think mainly to keep me in the house for some, you know, I had to come home to feed the dog.
Uh-huh.
She was smart. She was smart in that way. She said, let me get the guy a dog. And that way he can't be out being a dog. He has to go take care of the dog.
Yes.
I put Nacho Potato down because he was a danger to himself and other people. I've told that story on air. It was one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever done, actually. And that gives me a chill just to think about it. But anyway, then a year later, we get Blue. And so part of me believes that Blue is just Nacho Potato ruining the rest of my life for making that terrible decision to put him down in that particular life. He has come back to haunt me in the form of a female we call her a Yorkie, but I don't think that is. Trailer Park Yorkie. Blue the Trailer Park Yorkie.
She is.
And so, and in some way, I think that Venezuelans in general, at least for me personally, Venezuelans in general were meant to be a part of my life. That culture
definitely
has taught me some things that maybe I missed because of the where I was born and the household I grew up in. No fault of theirs, because they're a product of the way that they grew up. And
well, and weirdly, another connection, you know, is that when you first started dating Astrid and we were telling me where she was from, that is where my dad lived.
That's right.
When he was young.
He lived in Caracas.
He did.
Mm-hmm. That's so strange.
Yeah.
Why was your dad living in Caracas?
Because my grandfather
in the oil business?
In the oil business. He was a geologist.
Yeah.
So they lived in Venezuela. That's where my dad was born. And then they lived in Africa and different parts of the world.
Wow.
Through that.
Your dad had an interesting upbringing.
He did.
Yeah. And it's not strange that there's a lot of Venezuelans here in Atlanta either, because Georgia Tech is a place where a lot of Venezuelans went to school to learn about engineering for the oil business. And then, you know, I think the government would sponsor them to go to some of these more technical schools to learn some of this stuff so they could bring that knowledge back and drill for the oil out there, which has made that country very rich. And I'm not going to get into the politics, because there is the politics of talking about politics about Venezuela. Yeah. And we do still have family down there. But, you know, it just seems weird to me now that I look back on it. After some time, now that I'm in my late 70s, I'm reflecting on my life and I'm thinking about all the different ways that the word Venezuela and the Venezuelan culture kind of made a runway up to where I am today, including just being placed here in Atlanta. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of weird. And so I think we've been trying to do this for a long time. He has
we finally nabbed him.
Been scared shitless. Yes.
They were like, you're doing it.
I'm doing it. Only after we had that reel go viral did Gustavo make the decision that he wanted to come on, because he said, well, I want followers too. So after a long time of poking and prodding Gustavo, we have finally gotten him to agree to come on the show. He's a highly interesting young man, currently living in Houston and going to school with his fiance, Ale. Why don't we do this? Let's take a short break. If it's okay with you, Chrissy has volunteered to
I'll give my chair.
Give the chair up. And this is not because we don't want Chrissy here. This is because, honestly, we are
the only way it'll work.
We are so technically challenged in the first place.
Yeah.
Adding another microphone and a chair. No. Let's just pretend it's Chrissy for a minute. So Chrissy's going to step out. When we get back, it'll be Gustavo and I chitting and chatting about all things Venezuela. And I think you'll find that conversation interesting. And if you don't, fuck you. Go watch the game after this. All right, we'll be back.
I have a wild idea. Go to our Instagram and follow us at The Commercial Break. And then go to our TikTok and follow us there at TCB Podcast. And then go to our YouTube, youtube.com/The Commercial Break, and follow us there. And then text us at 212-433-3TCB and tell us that you followed us on all of those other places. And then go to our website, tcbpodcast.com, and browse, I guess. Well, those are all the ideas I have for today. So see you tomorrow. Bye.
And now Chrissy has stepped out of the room so that we can have just a chat, him and I, because I think he's a little bit nervous. He doesn't want a crowd here.
Absolutely.
But the very lovely, always welcome in my studio, probably the first Commercial Break fan ever, I would assume.
Yeah.
Gustavo. He's even got a song about him here on the show. And that's
right.
Gustavo.
Officially,
Gustavo.
The man of mystery is here, right?
You are a man of mystery in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like you, and I find you to be mysterious. There are something, you're such an open book in so many ways.
There's really
not a lot to be hidden.
That's right.
But then in other ways, you are a complete mystery to me.
Here's
a mystery that I have that I've shared with the listeners on the show. But now that you're here, this is my brother-in-law, by the way. It's talked about a lot on the show.
You better be careful.
Yeah, I know. Who do you think would win? If you and I got in an argument, who do you think your sister would favor?
Matias. She would run away.
It's probably a smart thing to do, actually. Yeah. I wouldn't pick sides either. I'd be like, I'm out of this one. I'm out of this one.
That's what she would do.
You were here over Thanksgiving. And had a engagement ring burning a hole in your pocket.
You didn't help me.
And yet, you didn't ask me for help.
You didn't sell my signs.
What
I couldn't
subtle
say
sign?
That in front of my fiance.
You couldn't have just pulled me a...
I was telling you. What were you thinking
you
about?
You were giving me the ring finger like this?
Yeah.
He was dropping secret notes in my late night cereal and cream bowl, and I just didn't get it. I ate them, so...
You can check your phone. You can answer me.
First of all, congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you so much.
Ali is a wonderful woman, and you're lucky to have her. You're lucky you have
any
woman.
Why do you love?
What's that? Because I know you. Because I know you and I know her. You know, there's a saying in English, yeah. You've outclassed it, right?
I don't know what that means.
Oh, you married up.
Okay.
You're going to marry up,
okay.
So to speak. And I hope I get a good place at the wedding. I just want a front row seat to see if this actually
It'll
happens.
Depend after this episode.
Okay, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
How did you ask Ali to marry you is the question that's burning everybody's...
Okay. So we went to a lake really close to our place.
In Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A beautiful lake, which I have.
What's the name of the lake? Do you even remember? Do you even know?
It has a silly name, like something like Lake Bryan.
Lake
Titicaca.
Like
it's Lake Bryan. It was in your honor.
Thank
actually.
You. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So.
As most lakes in.
So I
Texas
had to work a lot for that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I had to invite her like 20 times.
You had to invite her 20 times?
She didn't send my invitations.
Come.
I was going to do it.
You were going to do it here.
Yeah, but Astrid and her, like, they both were like, me.
Yeah, why are you going to go there? That place is
why
kind
are you
of
so
shitty.
Romantic? We don't love, we don't like that shit anymore. So
I think this is the funniest story. I really do. Gustavo's here. And Gustavo is, his intention is to get Ale to the waterfall, which is quite beautiful, by the way, to get her to the waterfall so he can romantically propose to her in a natural setting, you know, by themselves, like having a romantic moment.
That's right.
But Gustavo cannot convince Ale to go, and Astrid does him no favors because she's also like, why do you want to go there? It's cold. It's cold. No one wants to go there.
They prefer to play board games with me.
You could have asked her right there at the board games. Well, congratulations
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Thank you much. You're now here in the United States on the student visa
Correct.
Program. We'll see how long you get to stay.
Yeah.
But I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you
I'm
to stay all
for
the
me
way
also,
through.
But yeah. Sometimes I have some doubts about me.
Yeah. I have some doubts about whether or not you're going to stay past January 21st.
Yeah.
We'll see how it happens. So, you know, true or false? I am now the most famous Venezuelan you know.
Right now?
Right
you?
Now. Yes. That you know, that you personally know.
Maybe you can be Venezuelan, but you have to answer me like three important words from Venezuela.
Okay.
Do you think you know the meaning of three words from Venezuela?
You give me the words and I'll see if I understand them.
Okay. I'll go easy on you on the first one.
Are these slang words? Do you know what slang means?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you don't know the first one, I'll stand up and I'll leave the room.
I'm not making it into Venezuela? Yeah. All right. Okay.
What is chévere? And give me a sentence.
Chévere. Chévere.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Uncle Google?
No. Chévere.
Oh, man.
How do I use it in a sentence? Let's say that we went to the Braves game.
Okay.
Right? And the Braves won. I would be like, man, that's chévere, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's
awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Congratulations. Like, we did, like, it was awesome.
I'll handle it.
Is that fair enough?
Right. Yeah. You are not chévere.
No.
That's right?
No, I'm a 48-year-old white guy. What
that's right. You're not chévere.
Chévere.
Correct. You're good.
I haven't been chévere in 10 years.
You're good.
Okay.
What is a Roomba?
It's the thing that cleans your floor.
Roomba. On your wedding?
Yes.
After the official wedding, the ceremony, we had a Roomba.
A Roomba is like a little get-together with cocktails. A little informal party or a formal party?
A really good party.
A really good party.
Yeah.
Oh, a really good party.
Yeah.
Like a hoedown, a jam.
I don't know if you passed that one. I think
No, I don't think I passed that one. No, I honestly thought Roomba was the thing that closed. No, I thought Roomba was like... I didn't think it was a party.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a festival. Yeah. I thought Roomba was like going to a festival.
But Roomba could be any like
any
cool party. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Give me another one.
The last one. That's easy. One of your girls know this word really well. Coñazo.
Coñazo. I don't know. I have no idea what coñazo
means. I'll give you a coñazo if you don't behave.
That's
what we always say.
A spanking? Like a hitting? Like yeah, a slapping? Like hitting, yeah. A beating?
Yeah.
Coñazo means yeah, a beating?
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I'm going to you and I'm going to take
why,
you outside.
That's why I always ask it yes to you. Like I'm going to give you a coñazo. It's not a gift. Yeah.
I
that's right.
Think the first Venezuelan slang that I okay, so you know Rafael.
Yeah, of course.
Rafael's mother.
He's my cousin almost.
Yeah, yeah he's your cousin. Yeah, yeah he's your cousin. Rafael, just to put the like the kind of the family tree together for yeah, those listening. Rafael is my best friend. Is kind of the connection, the reason why I met Astrid. And Rafael and I have been friends for almost 30 years. Rafael's mother, I would listen to her. She was like one of the first Venezuelans that I knew besides Rafael. And yep, she's like from Venezuela, right? Really from Venezuela. Spent most of her life there. Yep. She used this word, ecte. Ecte.
Ecte.
Ecte. Ecte. Do you know what, do you know what this means?
I think you forgot the real word.
No, so listen. So here's the story. So then I would go around when I was using Spanish and I would say, ecte. Ecte, ecte, to Rafael. And he was like, why are you using that dumb word? What does that mean, dude? Ecte. And I go, doesn't it mean okay? And he goes, no, that's my mom's terrible way of saying este. She says ecte, ecte, ecte.
Este.
Este. This. This.
Okay.
Which is a word that yeah, she would use to like a punctuation on something. Like this. You know what I'm saying?
Ecte. Ecte sounds a lot like you speaking Spanish.
That's Maracaibo, yeah. I think.
Can you explain what nosotros is?
Nosotros.
You have a good story with that one.
Tell me the story about nosotros.
So you were on Spanish classes, right?
I was. I did take yeah, Spanish classes for a while.
For like 2 hours.
For 2 hours a day.
Because you thought that teacher was like hard. Like she was explaining in the Venezuelan way.
She was very difficult. Yes.
So you understood the word nosotros.
Nosotros.
But you couldn't pronounce it.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
You couldn't pronounce it.
You're reminding
he
me
he was
now,
like nosotros.
Otros. So I would say nosotros. Yeah. Which she, means we, right? Yeah. So I would say nosotros.
That's right.
And she would go, et no otros? Yeah. Do I say Brian? Do man, I go Brian? That's man, not how you say it?
She was about to give you a coñazo. Oh, she was insisting.
Gustavo, this lady was fucking insane.
Yeah, remember. I remember. She, you came scared of
her. I was scared of
her. Classes.
And the thing was, is we were in this.
With your
with notebook.
Notebook. With only nosotros reading. On the first day, man.
Oh. And it's like a child's Spanish yeah, book, right? She's giving like these children's workbooks. And here's the craziest thing about this lady. We would meet at a Starbucks yeah, most of the time. Yeah, yeah. Because when we met at the library for a while, but she was so loud and aggressive yeah, that the librarian asked
get
us
out
if
of
we could take it somewhere else. So yeah, then I would get a coñacin or coñoso, coñose, whatever. I would get it at the Starbucks.
Those were your days trying to convince Astrid that you were interested in Venezuela?
Right. Now I've just given up altogether. Now I speak English and the Venezuelans like me more. What's going on? I tried to speak Spanish to get in with the Venezuelans. They didn't accept me. Now I yeah, speak English and they love me or hate me, I guess, depending on what it is.
That's right. You better be careful.
So, you know, I didn't have AI when I first met Astrid.
The what?
AI.
AI?
Like okay, ChatGPT. Oh, yeah, no,
it didn't exist.
Like, no.
That's new for you.
I don't even think the iPhone existed when I met that. So when I met Astrid, you know that one of the first things that I wrote her is basically a Spanish sentence
yeah,
on Facebook.
From Google Translate?
Yeah, it said, hey, amiga, you know, hola, amiga.
Did someone help you or you used no, like Google Translate?
No, I don't even think that I knew what Google Translate was at the time. Yeah. I think I went to the internet and searched out the words that I wanted to say, the words I didn't know in Spanish. Okay. And when I put those words together, it apparently sounded so incredibly dumb that she, yeah, that Astrid responded
in
English.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, she was like, listen, I speak English. You don't need to speak Spanish.
Yeah.
But one of the, if I had known, and I think I found Google Translate pretty quickly after that, but had AI been around,
oh yeah,
I think I probably would have gotten with your sister a
it'll
lot
be much
quicker.
More easier, yeah.
It would have been much easier. Yeah.
Well, you're a good like speaker. How do you say that in Venezuela? We say labia.
A labia?
Yeah,
like bullshit flowing out of my mouth like a volcano.
No, but in a good way, you know, like when you want the confidence of the people, like you engage people easily speaking.
Yes, I think
you have that talent.
I think in English you would either say affable, or like you might be referred to as a people person.
Okay, yeah.
But I think that's kind of dumb because I don't know too many people that aren't people persons.
Yeah.
You know, like who doesn't like people or who doesn't have at least have one other person?
Well, I know some people that don't like people, so.
Yeah, listen, you take me to a place like Great Wolf Lodge and I quickly don't like people.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
That's right.
So I asked ChatGPT earlier today. I said, hey, ChatGPT. It's not really ChatGPT. It's a different one, but I'm not going to say the name here on air because they're not the sponsor. It's like ChatGPT.
And it starts with a G?
What's that?
It starts with
no,
a G?
No, I'll show it to you after you get it. Okay. I said, hey, if I'm dating someone from Venezuela and I want to know who they are, like I want to impress them,
okay,
what are some of the things I need to know about to impress them?
That's good.
Right? And so they put out a list of things, and I think it's pretty dead on. I want to share it with you. This is 20 things. We'll go through a few.
Okay.
Number one, family values. Family is extremely important to the Venezuelan culture.
That's right.
Expect to meet family members early on and be prepared for family gatherings at a regular pace. What it doesn't say is prepare 3 or 4 extra bedrooms in your house for a nonstop flow of Venezuelans.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you know about that. That's true. That's totally true. Venezuelans, we love to hang out with our family. We're like a whole group together always.
Yes.
Like, we hang out together. And when someone comes to the family, you better become part of the family.
You have to become part of the family. And I think that is why, quite frankly, I feel so indebted and ingrained in the Venezuelan culture is because when I met Rafael early on, here's the story. You ready?
Yep.
Rafael and I met at a restaurant.
Okay.
I was working at one restaurant. He was working at the other. They were the same restaurant, two different locations, two little Italian restaurants. The owner wanted him to come work at the one over where I was working, and I'd been working at this restaurant for like 4 or 5 months. Didn't know Rafael, never met him. He comes over. He's sitting at the end of the bar. I'm bartending. Quickly, we strike up a conversation. Okay. And fast forward to 6 or 7 hours later, we are incredibly intoxicated at the bar across the street. And his grandparents, where he was living at the time, lived in a townhouse behind that bar, like half a mile behind the bar.
Okay.
So the bar closes, 3, 4 in the morning, bar closes. We are 30 drinks into it. I mean, we are just shithoused. And I'm like, I got to call a cab home. And he's like, no, fuck that, dude. We'll go to this gas station. We'll grab a 6-pack of beer. We'll go to my grandparents' house where I live.
Place.
So I said, your grandparents are going to let me stay there? And he said, my grandparents, they wouldn't have it any other way. You need to come to my grandparents' house. They'll cook us food.
They'll be happy if you go there.
I go, this is like Waffle House? I have no understanding of Venezuela.
Kind of, yeah.
We walked to the townhouse. We open up the door. We're trying to be quiet so as not to wake up his grandparents. We go up these little stairs. We turn the corner. He opens the door. There's a bed, TV, fan. Looks perfect for me, right? Place where I can sleep with a little bit of air blowing on my face and a TV. So he says, go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Go to bed. I'm going to go brush my teeth and stuff. And I'm like, cool, bro. See you later. Good night. And he's like, good night, bro. And I jump in the bed.
First day.
And I jump in the bed. And a couple of minutes later, I hear the door open.
You woke up the grandpa because he was sleeping on the bed?
No. I hear the door open.
Yeah.
Didn't think anything of it. Maybe somebody forgot something.
Yeah.
They don't know me. Us Irish people, we just play dead.
Yeah.
We're like possums.
Yeah,
so if someone comes in, we just play dead. We're like,
that's what you do in that situation.
Yeah.
You just don't move.
That's what I do with Astrid a lot of times. I just play dead. Yeah. I hope that she doesn't realize
I'm
awake.
You close your eyes
that's
with your phone.
Raphael slides under the covers. And I jumped out of that bed. So fucking fast. I jumped out of that bed and I go, whoa, 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 whoa. And he goes, what's wrong? And I go, dude, it's not like this. And he goes, like what? And I go, it's not like this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. I think you got the wrong impression.
First, I need to go to the movies with you or something.
You need to take me out on a date. You lured me here with food and grandparents. And now you're trying to, I don't know what you're trying to do. And he was like, dude, don't freak out. And I was like, can I just please use the phone? I just need to call a cab.
Yeah.
And I left.
Yeah.
I literally left at like six in the morning, left. And that was a shame because when I was leaving, his abuela was making arepas for us to eat because she heard us coming
in. That's very
in.
Mean of you.
It was beautiful. It was wonderful.
But that was very mean of you. How can you not trust a Venezuelan?
A dude? If you were in the same situation, what would you have done?
He was using a beautiful pajama.
I know.
You should have to trust him.
He came in like 2, 3, 4 days later. He came in for his first day of work. And he was, you know, Rafa, he was like, dude, what's your problem? And I go, what's your problem, bro? I go, I didn't know you were gay. He goes, gay? What are you fucking talking about? I'm not gay.
That's what we do.
Yeah, he said, we're Venezuelan.
Yeah.
How many, he goes, what do you think? Did that look like a mansion to you? Do you think we had a bunch of bedrooms? He was like, you're sleeping in my bed.
Yeah, we treat everyone as a family.
Correct. Member. That's right.
So, yeah.
And you treated me like a family member since day one.
Well, yeah.
And we almost slept in the same bed, too.
Yeah, you took me on a jet ski. Yeah, so I had to treat you like a brother.
I took you on a jet ski. When Gustavo and I first met, we went down to Aruba.
Yeah.
And
you had a couple of beers, son.
I had 12 beers because you before you get there. Yes, of
I
course.
Didn't know I had like that that appearance.
You, I wasn't so worried about. Yeah, it was more your father who Astrid had warned me about. And to be fair, your dad had kind of freaked
At
out.
At least if I was you, I'll do the same.
Yeah
totally.
Absolutely.
With my dad, I know my dad.
That's an intimidating man.
That's the other part of Venezuelans. Like, we're very nice, but sometimes. Coming from Europe, some people.
It's a machismo culture.
Yep.
And the men in the family are the men in the family.
The only girl in the family.
The only girl in the family. That old, you know.
And this guy from America is going to say
this old bald guy
just
from America.
Just texting in Facebook. Sending me message. Hi, Dad.
Yeah. Still to this day. Yeah. Number one phrase your dad says when he's at this house.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian. Be careful. Yeah.
When we went to Aruba, we, out of respect, and because I'm Irish Catholic, and I think this is like a universal thing for fathers, no matter what religion you're in, I understood that I would not be sleeping in the same bed as Astrid. That certainly wasn't going to happen. We were just dating, not engaged, nothing. And so Astrid slept on the couch, and then Gustavo and I slept in these two single beds in this second bedroom.
Yeah, my dad told me, like, you better watch this guy.
Yes. Did he really? Did he say keep an eye on me?
No, I'm just kidding,
But every morning, his dad would come in. He would knock on the door, and like 7 o'clock in the morning, he'd knock on the door, he'd open it up, and he'd be like, "Ay, Gustavo! Ay, Gustavo! Yeah.
Ay, Gustavo and Brian. You better wake up.
He's just looking for a drink, buddy.
Yeah. He still does that. Till these days.
I think the other thing that it's important to know around family values and the family, the kind of the Venezuelan ever-expanding family, the extended family, is the fact that if you're married to a Venezuelan or if you're with a Venezuelan, you better be ready for any and all family members to be in your space at all times. When Astrid started inviting all family members to the house. I already understood this was going to happen because of Raphael's family. And I've never complained, not once. Not once. I've
Yesterday
always said,
we were speaking about it. Like, on the wedding, we had like
20 people in this
right
house.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We had like,
air mattresses.
Air mattresses all around the house.
Futons, couches. There were people sleeping in the attic.
In your bed.
Yeah, I think there was someone... I think some dude came in.
Hey, Brian, it's Rafael again.
Hey, Brian. Hey, chamo. Hola, chamo.
Yeah, that's right.
This AI application also tells me that there's warmth and affection with the Venezuelan people. They tend to be warm and affectionate. Public displays of affection are common, and expressing feelings openly is appreciated.
Yeah.
I think it's generally true.
That's right.
I don't think it's like universally true, but I think it's generally true. You guys
it's
like to give a hug
common.
Or high five.
We like to touch each other and, hang out, kisses, hugs.
Yes. Music and dance.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah, you're always...
Every kind of music.
Yeah, you're always...
Mostly Latin music, reggaeton, salsa, merengue.
What's your favorite, that country, Venezuelan country music that you like?
Oh, Llanera?
Yeah,
the one you were listening to yesterday?
Yeah, man.
That's not my favorite. I like some, but my favorite will be like... Merengue, I think.
Merengue?
Yeah,
merengue-tong.
There was a mix between merengue and reggaeton, which was really nice. Chino and Nacho?
Nacho and
that
potato?
That's right. The ones you
Nacho
fun.
And taco?
Yeah. That was a great duo.
Yeah.
They did a lot of great music.
I think we went and saw Nacho. Did Astrid and I
you
see
went.
Nacho?
Well, that's right. I think as we saw Nacho, you were on your phone watching Pearl Jam or something.
I wasn't. I actually watched it. She's taken me a number of Venezuelan concerts. I've enjoyed all of them. I went and saw the five brothers. What were they? The five guys? the Backstreet Boys of the
Boss Bass.
Boss Bass.
Yeah, yeah.
Boss Bass.
That's a really good
one. Yes. Yeah. And then I saw the old guy up in Chicago, the very famous Venezuelan, the very famous old guy who sings like ballads and love songs. And I, Astrid will have to tell you who it is.
You don't remember the name?
I don't remember the name.
The old guy.
Yeah.
And Dio Simón?
Tio Simone, is that his name?
One of the most Venezuelan famous singers.
I think you might be right about that. I don't know. I have no idea.
No, I don't think it was Tio Simone. Google Tio Simone.
Reggaeton?
Reggaeton and merengue.
Yeah. You're into reggaeton?
Oh, yeah.
Who's your favorite reggaeton?
Reggaeton singer?
Yeah.
You had it here in the TV show.
You don't know how...
I was proud of Brian for the first time in my life when he had Nicky Jam.
This is a moment of great pride for Gustavo. As a matter of fact, I don't think Nicky Jam would have even been on the
show. Actually, my favorite is like Nicky Jam, Wisin Yandel, like
Daddy Yankee.
Yeah, and Daddy Yankee.
Those
were like the real creators of reggaeton. But right now, I like a lot of reggaeton singers.
Are you guys getting into American music? I mean, I know you're into a lot of American. You know, Taylor Swift.
I'm a Swiftie right now.
You made me a Swiftie.
This house will make you a Swiftie.
Yes.
If you enter here, everybody's crazy about Taylor Swift. I really like country music.
No.
Every time I go hunting, we play some country music, which is pretty nice.
But, you know, country music in America is not really country anymore. Are you listening to, like, the newer country music?
I can't even tell you one.
That's a conversation.
But I like the rhythm and the songs. Yeah.
I like a lot of country music.
I also really like rock, but not like heavy metal stuff. Like, I got to know, like, Michael Jackson gathering into reggaeton.
Yeah.
Into rock this last year.
Michael Jackson.
So I started to understand that I like some rock music.
Michael Jackson is more pop music.
It does have rock elements into it.
It's got guitars, solos, and stuff like that. One of the other things that's very important to the Venezuelans, if you find yourself looking to date a Venezuelan, by the way, some of the most beautiful human beings in the world are Venezuelans. The women there are beautiful.
You're saying that because of your wife.
I'm definitely saying that because of my wife. Do you think I would have gotten it after
you finish the show.
Hey, Chamo. I don't want to be spending the night in Raphael's bed.
Yeah.
But the cuisine, of course, is important, too. Yeah. You've got your ayacas.
Yeah.
You've got your pan de jamón.
Your favorites, the ayacas.
Ayacas. I just can't stand them. I don't know. Why do you have to put raisins in it? Why raisins?
She put a little bit of everything, and everyone has to touch it.
Do you like raisins in your ayacas? I'm talking to LA off camera. Do you like raisins in the ayacas?
I eat everything.
I know you do, but you're a young man. You're growing.
When I was like very young, I didn't like raisins or olives. But right now, I just understand. You have to eat it all, and it's good.
I had this conversation with Joanna Hausman, and she said, I don't like the... mix either. I don't like.
Yeah, it's not for everyone.
But it reminds me of home.
That's right.
And for that reason, I like it. Is the ayacas kind of throw out the garbage food? Like, let's take all the stuff we have left over.
No. Families spend a lot of time like cooking.
No, I know
ayacas.
They do, but did it like originate as kind of like a throw out the garbage food? You don't know.
I know a story from my school. I don't know if true, but Indians from Venezuela?
Yeah.
How do you say that?
Native
Venezuelans.
Yeah. Indigenous is probably the best way to say it.
Yeah. So they used to have like the plantain leaf.
Mm-hmm.
And they will ask like they were slaves. So they were asking like their people like allá, there, acá. So like they were start putting some food on the leaf.
Yeah.
And so that's what they told us in school. I don't know if
that's like true. That's like the history version.
They were using the plantain leaf.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true, but it has some sense.
So the indigenous who were slaves would ask their masters for whatever food was left over.
Yeah,
can you put it here? Can you put it here? And they would roll it up, steam it, eat it.
I don't know if that's true, but it makes some sense. At least for a kid's story, it's good.
I hate to hear about the slaves, but you know. The ayacas is generally the only food that Astrid has ever introduced me to, or anybody Venezuelan has introduced me to, that I don't care for. I just generally don't like the Ayakas. But everything else,
I remember I'm your on board phrase. With. Your phrase the first time we were like cooking Ayakas.
Yes,
you were like, "I'm running out of this place.
Listen,
I need to go to Starbucks and McDonald's both together. Yes.
Give me some cream and some cereal and a cheeseburger, please."
That's right.
I can deal. The reason why I ran out of the room, the reason why I turned my nose in disgust, was not because I didn't. I saw that everyone was doing this with love and with care. It's that I had had them before.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys make them better. Maybe I should try them all over again. Maybe it's
my
different
mom will
from
be
family
very
to
proud
family.
Of you, if I you know. Try one of her.
It's like a yearly.
But I understand that you were afraid because we were all like in a yellow oil with bags and gloves, and it was like, "What are you guys doing here?" I understand that
we went to drop something off to go send it to Venezuela. And at the time, you know, and still to this day, you can't just send something directly to Venezuela from the United States. It's got to go on a boat or it's got to go through another country because of all of the trade restrictions around Venezuela. So when you want to send something, you box it up and you go to a guy that lives in a shack, and that dude in the shack boxes everything up with other stuff that's going to Venezuela. Then he rents out space on a boat. He puts it on a boat. He gets there 7 weeks later. So we went one time to this place, and I'm telling you, Gustavo, the guy gave us a box of frozen. This was like February. We went, gave us a box of frozen Ayakas. There must have been 600
as a
Ayakas
gift.
As a gift. He just gave it to Astrid. And it was a box full of Ayakas.
Those were leftovers.
Those were leftovers. Yeah. And they weren't very good at all.
I can imagine.
No one liked that. All right, let's continue this conversation. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Have you got a hankering down deep in your soul to tell us what's up? Well, I am encouraging you to do just that. Text us at 212-433-3TCB. And tell us what's going on. Give us the haves. Tell us the dirty secrets of your life. That's all we've ever wanted to hear. You can also leave us a voicemail at the same number. That's 212-433-3822. And also follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And if you want to see any video episodes, you can go to youtube.com/The Commercial Break and they are all right there. And if your hankering is not to tell us what's up, but it's for a new sticker, I'm sure there's probably one on the website. Go to tcbpodcast.com, click contact us and find I Want My Free Sticker. I know you can do it. And I can't wait to hear your thoughts on anything and everything. Love you. Bye.
All right, and we're back here with my brother-in-law, Gustavo, joining us in the studio. Chrissy has stepped out for a few minutes to allow Gustavo to take the throne.
Thank you,
congratulations.
Chrissy.
You don't get Chrissy out of that throne
that's very easy.
That's
right. Thank you. Well, this is an honor. Yeah. Thank you, Chrissy.
Actually, lots of people have said that.
We wanted you to be out of fear, but I didn't give that seat to anyone.
You know, the funny thing is that Chrissy came in today, and we were trying to figure out how we get all three of us in this camera angle. I just couldn't work it out. We didn't have an extra microphone and stuff, an extra good microphone, stuff like that. And Chrissy said, "Well, I'll go, or you can step out, and I'll talk to Gustavo." And I was like, "You're going to let my brother-in-law be
here?"
We
all want you to get out of the studio for like an hour. Especially my sister.
I think Astrid really does want me to be out of the studio for an hour.
Absolutely.
We're talking about things that are important to know if you're going to be in a relationship with a Venezuelan. Now, you know, Astrid, Ale, and Gustavo are taken, so none of us are on the block. But just in case, we've been talking through some of the things we just got done with cuisine. Tequeños are my favorite Venezuelan import to this household.
For real? More than cachapas? Because you're a cachapa lover.
There was a time during the pandemic when I ate cachapas every night, probably for 3 or 4 months, every single night. Cachapa is a corn cake that is fried, and then you put butter and you put cheese on it. So it's like cornmeal, butter, cheese. You can put lots of different stuff on it, but that's how we prepare them here.
Yeah, that's the classic one.
The butter and the corn. I want to tell the Americans what this is like. This is like going and getting a really good corn on the cob, and then smearing it with salted butter. Yep. And it's so delicious and juicy and wonderful. And then you put on top of that the white cheese.
Yeah, like a fresh cheese.
Yeah, like a fresca cheese, like something that's native.
Sometimes they put some pork in Venezuela also.
Oh, they put pork on cachapas?
Sometimes. The classic one is just with cheese. But the ones with pork are really good.
What is your favorite Venezuelan food?
I'll say pavillon for sure.
Pavillon?
Pavillon.
What's a pavillon?
Yeah, it's like shred meat with tajadas, plantain. You know the tajadas?
Okay, okay.
Beans, rice, and I'm missing something. No, that's it.
Okay,
those four. Yeah, it's like
all together. It's mixed together.
You can mix it, but it's like they serve it separate.
Okay, yeah. So it's like a dish.
It's a dish. Yeah,
and
it's really good.
So let me ask you this: the shredded meat that's like marinated in something.
Yeah, they have like this seasoning, this Venezuelan seasoning that is really good.
Have I had that? Yeah, that's like the shredded beef
that
Astrid makes.
Yeah, you have that from my mom and
okay.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, the other thing that I don't care for is plantains. Yeah. I know a lot of people love plantains,
but that's really mean of you.
I know. I think if Astrid had to claim
you have to work
a food.
That. You have to work on that.
Well.
Start eating just plantains.
It's a little sweet
force yourself.
For me. Just start eating plantains.
No, that's like one of the favorite foods for Venezuelans.
I one time told.
We always eat plantain like in like barbecues, like every time we're eating plantain, for real.
But yeah, I think plantains is a staple. But to me, it's a sweet food, so it doesn't go in the hearty category. If that makes sense,
so you prefer having a chocolate with the plantains. It's more a dessert for you.
I prefer having ice cream with plantains rather than meat with plantains.
With ice cream, you can.
Yeah, I see Astrid eating steak and plantains, and I'm like, that's like putting chocolate on a hamburger. I don't get it. But some people like that combination while they're sitting there. I prefer to split my meals up, and that is a very American thing to do. You have your salties, and then you have your sweets, or you do it the other way around. Whatever it is, you don't mix those two together. Yeah. Very rarely happens, and I think as close as that comes for me is a cachapa because it's a little sweet.
It's got
corn, the butter sweet, that's salty, and then you've got the cheese that adds a little bit of flavor to it. One time made the. Have you had roti? Do you know what roti is?
No,
roti, the soup, the spicy soup that's made.
I'm not much into spicy flavors, but I think I haven't tried that.
I think that's the one thing that surprises me about you and your father, and I guess Venezuelans in general, including Rafael, is you have such an aversion to spicy foods.
I don't know what my dad likes a little bit of hot sauces and stuff, but for me, it's not like I prefer sweet flavors.
Yeah. You know, no Venezuelan man that I have known really well has liked spicy foods.
Yeah,
it's more
a Mexican thing, not Venezuelan.
It really is a Mexican thing.
Absolutely.
And if there's one thing your dad loves, it's Mexican food.
That's right.
If there's one thing that Daniel loves, it's that Mexican food.
That's right.
What did he tell me one time? He said he was working in
Mexico. Yeah, because he used to work in Mexico. And
what's the story he told? Yeah.
Well, he used to travel like 6 months to Mexico, and he was like eating tacos all day. So he was like, he became a real fan of Mexican food. And spicy stuff, yeah.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did.
Your sister has always told me that he's not a fan of tacos.
No. Yeah, he likes tacos.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, like he's always talking about the tacos al pastor, which is like the
the lamb tacos.
Yeah. Oh, he loves
that. Very good. The street tacos.
Yeah.
I think Astrid has been secretly saying that because she doesn't want me to go have tacos. I'm talking to Astrid about that. I think Astrid is using Daniel as an excuse to get me out of Mexican
Venezuelan girl's strategies so you can eat her food. She doesn't know how to prepare a taco. So.
That's, not only are they beautiful, but they tend to be pretty intelligent, too.
That's right. They do.
That's right. All right, moving on. Social life. Venezuelans enjoy socializing and often gather with family and friends. I find this to be true, and here's why I think this is so important to the Venezuelan people, especially now. Why it's so important, like Astrid, I'm sure Ale feels this way, I'm sure you feel this way, is the Venezuelans are a displaced people. They're a displaced people, and they have been a displaced people. The indigenous have lived there, but the Spanish came over. They were a displaced people, and now many Venezuelans, most of them, it's kind of been a brain drain, is a displaced people also. It is so important to keep that connection through socialization. Family members or not family members?
Absolutely.
Because that is the connection to home. Home is a thought right now for a lot of Venezuelans.
Yeah,
it's not a place.
And because Venezuelans, we were like kind of forced to move all around the globe.
Yeah.
So it's not been easy. Like we have a brother in Spain. We have family in Florida. We're in Texas. You're here in Atlanta. So we're all around.
It's a real challenge.
In Mexico, all around the world. So yeah, and I think you also know that because every time we come visit you,
oh my
your
God.
Wife stay with us like till three in the morning, and we are just like speaking through the same stories one and again.
Get it. I have a real longing for that in my own family, because that is not how we operate. Our family, I've said this on the show, I've told Astrid this, I probably have told my therapist this a million times. In my culture, and by culture, I mean the family that I grew up in the people and the family members, the extended family members we have, gatherings are not a thing you linger. It's not a place where you linger. It's a place where you get together for a minute and then you go, right? And then you're out. You don't linger. No one spends the night. You know how many times I spent the night at my grandma's house, on my mom's side?
Never.
Twice.
Really?
Maybe. Maybe twice.
That was weird.
We would literally go to a hotel before we would spend
That's
the night.
That's weird.
It's very strange. Now that I've been embedded in this culture for so long, I see just how strange that really was.
Since a young age, I love to spend time like with my cousins.
Yeah.
I love to stay like, you know my godmother.
Yeah.
So I always love like to stay at her place. Like I was like, please, mom and dad, I want to stay here. I want to spend the night here to spend time with my cousins, like playing games, talking, making jokes. So.
I think it's the biggest. I think it's one of the biggest blessings you can give a child.
Oh yeah,
it's one of the biggest blessings you can impart on someone like me who doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Is the longing for connection with family in that way. Now it still takes some getting used to, and it doesn't mean that you're ever like a hundred. Like as someone as an outsider, I might always be just a little bit outside the actual like the actual culture in that way. But I long for and I love that Astrid gets to stay up till 3 a.m. hanging out with her family. I think it's beautiful. I really do.
I always loved your face, like trying to understand us and just not even understanding at 10% of what we were saying because we were like,
First of all, can you guys stop fucking talking over each other just for 1 second? I mean, honestly, you walk into a room of Venezuelans and everybody is having 6 different conversations at the same time.
Yeah.
How do you even operate in that manner? How do you do it?
A lot of times we make fun of you and you don't even know.
Oh, I get it. I hear my name all the time. But when 3 of you are saying it at the same time, I can't understand
that.
And
we know the way to make you like distracted.
You're playing a game with me.
We love to see your face.
I think it's very difficult to understand Venezuelans if you're trying to learn Spanish whenever, and I've said this many times, so you're all talking over each other.
That's impossible.
It's hard. I need one person saying it relatively slowly to me, and then I can understand.
I always tell this story to Ali. One of my favorite moments from your face is when my mom approaches to you and starts speaking to you in English or Spanish or that combination. I love your face, like, making me sound like, come here and help me. I don't understand anything. And you're just doing like, yes, mom. Yes, mom.
Yeah, but can we be fair to me is that your mom's English needs a little work, just like my Spanish.
She has her own dictionary.
But I think your mom's Spanish also needs a little bit of work. She's not that good at Spanish sometimes either.
It is.
It's really hard to understand. Your mom complained to me last year. She complained to me. She goes, you know, in Spanish, you know, you don't talk to me anymore. You don't want to listen to what I have to say. You used to talk to me. And I was like, I think you're remembering that incorrectly.
I used to try, but I gave up.
I used to try, but I don't understand. Now, I think me and your mom have this understanding where we try to slow down for each other a little bit more because I really do sometimes have a hard time understanding your mother. But, you know, listen, again, I think probably one of the greatest gifts that's been imparted to me is the gift of the Venezuelan family because without that, I'd just be stuck in my miserable Irish Catholic family. And they're not miserable people. We just don't operate on the same level.
No, your family is great, but different traditions, different cultures.
We would never think to sit up till 3 a.m. playing board games. I think we'd get way too irritated with each other for that. We'd just all be irritated.
You can do that, but watching like football games without like cheering a lot. It's just like watching the TV
and
you go to your space. We are like all touching ourselves with our legs on top of the other. Yeah.
I think too is that you're right about this, is that Americans by and large grow up with the television as the center of attention. So when they grow older and they have families of their own, the television is the center of attention.
So you're trying to say like Venezuelans, we don't have TVs?
I don't know what you guys have down there. I haven't been, and I'm probably not going to get to go now. I'm probably out.
You won't.
No, I'd love to. I can't wait to go.
We like Venezuelan was also like a big part of TV, of sure. families. Yeah. Yeah, because we had a lot of very important TV shows, like funny TV shows, Radio Rochella. Has Sastry told you about this one?
Listen, this is so crazy because when I ask, hold on one second.
ChatGPT told you this?
ChatGPT told me this.
Or AI, sorry. Yeah,
AI told me this. Hold on.
I told Ale I wanted to make you react, like play, like show you some Venezuelan TV show. That'll be the next level for
Venezuelan.
You.
I saw this somewhere. What did you call this?
Radio Rochella.
Okay, tell me about this.
It was a TV show made of all of funny sketches.
Like I said, yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
So Venezuelans were waiting for, like, I think it was on Monday's night, so it was, like, perfectly because your week was starting.
Yeah.
So all families were, like, waiting for this TV show to start.
Yeah.
And we loved, like, also, like, for Venezuelans, like, the TV was a center of attraction for some time, but we also, like, after that, we were just, like, spending the night making jokes, like, repeating those jokes and having fun of this TV show.
Do you think part of the reason why Venezuelans turned inward to family is because the outside world was kind of a scary place? So
I don't think so, because at least what I remember when I was a kid, it wasn't that scary. Of course, it's not like here. You have a lot of thieves, and
sure,
it's not a place like you can be with your iPhone in the streets. But I think it's just something like Venezuelans like to share. Like, I always remember our weekends were like spending time with the family. Like, okay, where's the meeting? On the yeah, like Tia. Are we going to Tia's or they're coming here? So it was like that. We are just like family members.
God damn! Fuck all you. You're so beautiful. What the fuck?
We are.
What the fuck? You're gonna make me want to restore faith in humanity. When I'm losing all faith. When I think I've got it pinned down. Now I have.
You were born Venezuelan. You were born in the wrong place.
I probably was born in the wrong place. And listen, I think that's a thing too. Sometimes people just feel like they're born in the wrong place.
You'll have an opportunity, a chance to visit Venezuela. Not very soon.
Or I won't.
When's
the next election? Somebody was writing on one of those comments that, like, we'll figure this out in the next couple of days.
So today is the 8th. January the 8th. On the 10th, maybe something's going to happen in Venezuela. Hopefully. We're hoping for a change in Venezuela.
Okay.
Because we had elections this last year.
We heard.
You heard. Yeah. You know the story.
And the person who supposedly won was recognized by a lot of democratic countries as the winner.
Right now we're like waiting to see what's
going to happen.
Is this
one of those WhatsApp buzzy, things are going to happen, things might go down kind of shit? Anyway, you know what? Let's not talk about it here on the show.
I hope everything goes really
me too.
Well.
I am rooting for Venezuela. Yeah. Viva Venezuela Libre. I hope actually one of the things that I silently meditate about is that my children get to understand who they are in a more meaningful way by visiting the place where their mother
I want to take them there.
Lived.
Yeah. I'm waiting.
I can't wait. Yeah, we came this close to pulling the trigger this year. We came this close to pulling the trigger and then we just backed off.
I cannot remember. I was saying like, yeah, guys, come.
Yeah.
From one day to the other. It's like, okay, cancel the plans.
Your dad said to me when I first met, when we were down in Aruba, I said, oh, I'd love to go to Venezuela because I know Americans do go down there.
Yeah,
and
there's
a whole category of travel agents that will get you down there and take, you know, make sure that you're safe, I guess, as much as they can or whatever. And your dad said, I won't bring you to my house if I don't think I can keep you safe you there. He's like, once you get there, fine. Yeah. He's like, but outside my house, if I don't think I can keep you safe, I won't invite you.
Yeah,
anything can happen. But I guess it can be the same can be said about a lot of places in this world, including the United States of America. Right. So who knows? Anyway, listen, Gustavo Boquete, you are a dear friend. I love you as a brother. You've been a long time first of the show.
I love you sometimes, too. I do love you a little.
And as my Venezuelan brethren, you're welcome here anytime.
Thank you. Yeah, this is an awesome moment for me because you were like your kids when they start asking for a cookie.
Yeah.
So yeah, last year you started like, do you want to come to the show?
I was yes.
like, no.
I just
no.
Tried
so
to
he keep going. He yeah, keep going. I did the, your same strategy. At the end, I give you the cookies.
I'm smarter than I look, and I know that no one's going to do anything they don't want to do.
That's right.
So you just have to keep pecking the head yeah, a little bit. Just right. keep tapping somebody on the shoulder until they turn around.
That's right.
All right, let's take
we
a break.
We had fun. Yeah.
We did have fun. Good job, buddy.
Best to you.
Best to you.
In the podcast universe.
We'll be back. Well, that is well worth the wait. You won't hear it until everybody else does, but man, was that good. Gustavo.
I love hearing his opinion.
He is a gentleman and a scholar, not necessarily in that order, but I could have gone on forever with Gustavo, but he is my brother-in-law, so there is a level of comfort, and I'm so proud of him. He came in and he did it.
He faced his fears.
He faced his fears. He did it well. He's hearing himself for the very first time on a microphone, which is really strange to do.
It is.
And he did it well, and we only had to pan out 10x to get him to get his entire body into the frame. It's a large boy. Anyway, yes. You can check this special out on YouTube, out available today as you're listening to this. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak for all the episodes. Chrissy and I, all the interviews, everything. All of the interviews are actually out there. There's lots of older episodes, and then all of the episodes since the beginning of the year certainly are there and available. So check that out. We certainly would appreciate it. 212-433-3822. That's 212-433-3TCB. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We are taking them all at that phone number. Voicemail also, but just be wary of that voicemail because you know, Chrissy, I'm a gangster. And I will put that up here on the show
yes,
if you leave me some snappy little message. You mm-hmm. can better believe. That's why I think very few people actually call the phone number. Maybe I should stop threatening to put it on air. Maybe more people would call if I stopped threatening to put it on air.
Yeah.
Maybe I can bait them into doing it by saying,
feel free to call.
Feel free to call.
You'll be anonymous.
I promise I won't put it on air. I'll bait a bunch of people to do that. Also, if you would please, at the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, if that's still around. Tomorrow, actually,
yeah.
as we release this episode, tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
we'll see whether or not TikTok is still available to operate in the United States. I think it will. I think there'll be
think
an injunction
so yeah.
while people work it out. There's people claiming they're going to buy it. We'll see. And the website, tcbpodcast.com. All the information about Chrissy and I, the audio, the video, it's all right there from one location. And your TCB swag. Hit the contact us button. Drop down menu, I want my free sticker. Send us your address and it away it will go. Also, if you would, please, Roy Wood Jr., go check out his new special, available today on Hulu. Okay, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for this special episode of The Commercial Break.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye. Goodbye.
What the f*** am I doing here?